Ah, the Jazz Crusaders with Agua Dulce, meaning sweet water, from their 1965 album, Chile Con Sol. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And here we are. It's Free Your Mind Friday. For those of you just tuning in or hearing the program for the first time, thanks for joining us. Free Your Mind Friday is a feature that we've been conducting for quite some time now. And it's the listeners basically dictating where the program goes. I have no set program for today or any day that we are doing Free Your Mind Friday. Listeners set the pace, they choose their topic. And the idea is to present a thought, present your topic, as it were, and basically prove your point. And we'll see if and how people react to what you've presented. It's very easy. You call 888-874-4888, and hopefully you're ready to go. Okay? And please be mindful of the time. Take your time to present your point, but be mindful that there are other people also wanting to do the same thing. So 888-874-4888, and we start in New York with Jay. Hello, Jay. How are you?
Eutrice, how are you? Long time no speak to. I hope you are doing
Exactly.
well, and I hope you enjoying your lentil soup as always.
Thank you.
Well, you know,
What are you talking about today?
there's a couple of things, but I would really like to start off with the treatment in regards to the people that are trying to come to this country in these detention centers. It is absolutely a disgrace and a barbaric display of the hatred of some of our American people. It is absolutely a shame that the Congress, the Senate, are allowing this to happen to these individuals, and nothing is really being done about it in the manner in which it could be. It goes to show me, and the way that I look at it is the same thing that was happening to my ancestors, unfortunately. The type of brutality that are facing these individuals is inhumane. And now they're going to ramp it up with these so-called ISIS raids starting on Sunday. You know, at some point in time, we as so-called Americans, and I have a lot of issues with America and their treatment of everyone, but to have this type of display seen around the world and the people of this country don't stand up against it and do something about it, all because of the rehearse of a few individuals in this country that are spearheading this. It shows absolutely cowardice on the American people's part, and it shows the absolute sickness of those who agree with this.
Okay,
Something has
but
to be done.
what do you believe? What would you suggest that should be done with regard to the treatment of refugees?
To be honest with you, I don't know what it will take. Will it take protesting? Will it take, people marching on Washington and their Congress and Senate people's offices? Would it take some sort of boycott of some product or something? I mean, this is just inhumane. It's no reason for it. There's other
Okay,
ways of
why do you
handling it. And
think,
then on top of that, people are making money on it. See, that's the
but why do
thing.
you think
And
this is
I'm going
happening?
to be honest with you. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. And you know, I'm not going to sit up here and I'm not going to, in a sense, not hold myself to a certain responsibility because I am making money off of it, unfortunately. You know what I mean? But the thing is, this is not about anything other than money. It's not about trying to change the parameters of the country. It's not about trying to change the immigration laws. It's not about none of these things. It's strictly about money and cruelty.
Why is it happening?
I think it's happening because those individuals are part of the majority that is about to become this country. This is about to become a brown and black country within maybe 20 years. So whereby you're going to be in a situation where these individuals are going to be the dominant force. So this whole crazy white nationalism and all of the other madness is coming into play, but it's not going to stop it from happening. What it's going to do is it's going to create individuals who are going to be more receptive to the payback. See, the one thing that I believe this truly, honestly is that black people, for all of the suffering that we have taken at the hands of, unfortunately, but honestly, white people in this country, we've never had the desire to pay them back. But others don't roll like that. I don't believe that the Mexicans and these other immigrants that are being treated in this manner are going to forget, and it's going to be payback. They're not the same
Let's deal with concrete. How are you making money off of this?
I own stock. I own stock in the places that are providing services. That's all. Okay. I'm not the only one. They all are. It's part of my portfolio. That's all.
Okay. I'm asking because you recognize you have a contradiction.
No question.
Okay, but
I'm not gonna deny it. And that's why I said it. I'm publicly saying there is a contradiction, and I can't deny it because I question it myself. You know what I mean? When I make my end of the week decisions, I say to myself, okay, should I sell this or should I keep it? You know what I mean? And I'm that's why I'm being honest, because it's at the point now where I think I may have to sell. Because the situation is not getting better. I honestly, Utrice, thought that the Congress and the Senate was going to do something to try and make it a little more humane. But it seems like they're trying to make it worse, not better.
Well, this is the everlasting conundrum in the United States. People know that there's a moral imperative to do something, but then other considerations enter the picture, like, as you said, you're making money off of it. So there's no urgency in what you see that you have to do to put yourself in line with the very things that you are articulating now about the humanity of it. But in the larger sense, why do you think that Congress would make a move, a very serious move, to redress the situation when the groundswell of demand is not there? People are not in the streets. People are not demanding things. People are not drawing the lines. People are not making this a major, major issue. And everybody's sitting waiting for Congress to do the job. They don't see themselves as having a role to play, a direct role to play in helping the process along. Everybody's just on the sidelines. Not everybody, that's bad. People are on the sidelines observing a tragedy, a massive tragedy unfolding, and Trump is still safe. His administration is still safe. Nobody is on a repeated basis, as there has been in other countries, where people make their will felt by taking to the streets, by making a vocal outcry to say this is not who we are as a nation and get it fixed. They're not
Well,
doing that.
Eutrice, it may be this is what we are as a nation. You have
No,
a
I
you know
don't think
that
so.
I know we're not that as a nation, but like you said, I don't that's the puzzling thing to me. Why isn't the Congress acting? Why are they not doing what is supposed to be their job to do? They're speaking out about it, and then your girl Pelosi is constantly going after the four who need to be put in check a little bit, but there's a little racial tinge to it also, but that's something of another thought.
There's a
But
huge
I don't
racial tinge to
understand
it.
why. Huh?
There's a huge racial tinge to it. There's no
Oh, no
question
question.
about it. And to
There's
my
no,
mind,
but nobody's going to talk
Pelosi
about
is
it other
wrong.
than you. Well,
Look,
I mean,
we got to get this
honestly,
thing.
they skate around the issue every time you turn around and don't look and listen. I'm so glad you don't have a TV because I don't know what you would do, Eutrice, if you had a TV. Because whenever you see them on TV talking about it, they skate around the issue and they got black folks on there that skate around it worse than the white people do. It's ridiculous. It's really ridiculous. But, I'm going to leave you with this, Eutrice. I think I'm gonna sell the stock because I speaking out in public about it, I see where I'm morally wrong for holding on to it. And I'm hoping that we as a people, because I know there's gonna be some protesting going on this Sunday, I hope that, people will get out there and motivate the people to get on Congress to let's address and deal with these detention centers, because the one thing that upsetting me the most that they're not talking about that I know is going on is the molestation of these children. I know it's happening. I'm praying that the Creator will look over these children because no child deserves what they're doing. And the sickness is that these people will justify the treatment of a 5-month-old. That's when I knew we were sick people. Whenever somebody could justify that type of treatment or even place a child in that type of position where a 3, 4, 5, or 8-year-old has to look after a 5-month-old, that's sick. That's how
Well,
sick
it
we
seems
really
it's
are.
happening because people are permitting it. And when I say people, I mean the people. You cannot, on the one hand, preach about how horrific it is, and it is horrific, and at the same time, you're not willing to put yourself out there saying, I'm going to take a sign. I mean, it doesn't require very much. You take a sign and you join a group and you protest or you write letters or you do something active that helps or that might
Well, the
help.
one thing that I have been doing is calling Chuck Schumer's office, Gillibrand's office, Espinosa's office, Gregory Meek's office, Hakeem Jeffries. I've been calling their office at least once a week and asking them what are they going to do about it. And, as
Well, they're
usual,
answering
the
you. They're
secretary just
answering
takes
you
you
by
what you owe.
doing very little. It's a
Right.
compounding of problems because the people we are looking to do something, we are assuming that A, they actually want to do something, and B, that they actually can do something. We fail to recognize that our leadership, our representation, is either voluntarily or by design circumscribed. They
Infinite.
can't do anything or much. And so it
Well,
is
listen,
so
you two have a
imperative
good
for the
weekend.
people to be out there to back up what they say their concerns are. It is not enough to say, well, we write letters and we'll make phone calls, and that's not working. And we keep doing the same thing, expecting a different result. So there's something wrong with our tactic. Thanks for getting us started today, Jay. Thank you
Have a
very
good
much for
weekend.
calling in. Thank you. 888-874-4888. Of what are you freeing your mind? Harvey from Berkeley.
Hello, fabulous Utrees.
Thank you. Hello, Harvey. What are you talking about today?
Well, I have a suggestion that'll help us slow our use of single-use throwaway plastic food containers. And we bring our food we can bring our food our containers to the grocery stores and delicatessens that use plastic takeout food containers for prepared foods like coleslaw, egg salad, tuna salad, chicken salad, desserts, etc. Containers like ball glass food storage jars with screw on top lids, stainless steel food storage boxes and containers that you can find in stores or online, wide mouth food storage thermos bottles. Most grocery store scales have a tare weight, it's called TARE weight button on their scales, and tare weight is a button that resets the display on the scales to zero when an empty container is placed on the weight platform. After weighing your container and pressing the tare button, the person behind the counter can fill your container with the food that you've selected and place your container back on the scale, and the scale displays only the weight of the contents in the container. And bringing our own food containers would also help to reduce the grocery store's cost of doing business by saving money on takeout plastic food containers. And they might even give us a discount if you use your own containers when you purchase the food. We also know that plastic food containers are made from petroleum, and they are creating a lot of unnecessary illness on our planet. Like here in California, we have Proposition 65 that says, warning, crude oil, gasoline, diesel oil, and other petroleum products, and plastic is a petroleum product, can expose you to chemicals, including benzene, which are known to the state of California to cause cancer, birth defects, and other reproductive harm. So, switching to glass and plastic food containers would be a lot healthier for us. And because certain foods draw petroleum byproducts out of the plastic or the styrofoam into the container, so we're eating the container as well as the food. And here in Berkeley, especially in the downtown area, the public garbage bins are overflowing with plastic and styrofoam trash. And we, the taxpayers, we can save money in garbage collection and landfill disposal of single-use throwaway plastic containers by bringing our own containers to the store. And now countries, especially third world countries, won't accept our plastic trash anymore. So it really is time to reduce our use of unhealthy single-use throwaway plastic, styrofoam, and food containers because it really is the right thing to do.
It sounds like a very good plan. However, Harvey, I want to pose a question to you. This is a very litigious society. Everybody's filing lawsuits every minute of the day. What happens, or how does a concept like this indemnify a business that says, okay, yes, this person brought a used container and for coleslaw, and then the person is now alleging that the coleslaw made him or her sick. Now, what do you do?
Well, I guess that, well, the thing is that using plastic repeatedly, number one,
could make us sick because the like I say, there are maybe vinegars and things like that, caustic materials that acidic foods can draw out the petroleum byproducts into the food. So that exists already. But the thing is that I think it's a lot safer because if we bring home the food in our own containers like glass or stainless steel, then when we're finished using them, we wash them. We know they're clean. And glass is really safe as far as it doesn't interact with food. And I think the same thing is true for stainless steel. And so there is a better chance that we would be healthier. And I'm not quite sure about the legal position of all that, but I believe that it would be a healthier thing to do, not only for our own personal health, because we're consuming less petroleum, but that it's healthier for the planet itself. And I think it's, you know, the stores, they most probably feel guilty because they themselves are a source of so much waste plastic going into our system, into our oceans. There's in the Pacific Ocean, there's an area that's larger than the state of California that had just floating plastic. So they would actually look good, stores would actually look good by encouraging their customers to bring their own plastic or stainless steel containers.
Their own containers, yeah.
Yeah, and the rest I don't know, but the lawsuits I don't know. I think that's one by one kind of deal there.
Well, I've taken a small step, and I've been doing this for years, actually. I take my own shopping bag whenever
right
I go shopping for whatever it is. I take my own shopping bag. In fact, I just am on to my brand new one because the old one gave up. It was overworked. But it's an idea. Now, here's the funny thing. I grew up in Trinidad. And you don't go shopping without bringing your bag. And people thought it was so crude. It was so, it was just too simple. And you looked bad. It didn't go well with your clothes or something. And they would actually laugh at people who brought their own bags. But the modality for everybody, generally speaking, is you bring your bag when you go shopping. This cuts down a lot of waste, and it also allows the person to know that they're doing the right thing. They're not creating new garbage. But it takes a while for that to sink in so-called modern day countries where this is deemed as a kind of backward step. And in fact, it's a very, very forward-looking practice. So I'm hoping that people change their attitudes about it. There's nothing shameful or embarrassing about carrying your own bag and leaving the plastic behind. Thanks so much, Harvey, for calling.
Thank you.
Henry from Chicago. How are you doing, Henry?
Hey, Utrice. I'm hanging in there. How's it going?
I'm hanging in here, too.
Wishing you and the rest of the Lead Stories and PRN listeners a productive and safe weekend.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk about, and I don't know if you've talked about this on your show. You may have talked about it maybe a couple of years ago, but I know, in Illinois, Governor J.B. Pritzker just signed into law the legalization of marijuana use for recreational purposes. And I take the position that I'm against that. And here's why. So now, just to say, I am for medical use of marijuana. I think the medical use of marijuana does have very positive purposes. you know, especially for people with, you know, cancer and some terminal illnesses and effects, you know, like physical ailments that they have. But I've tried to rationalize what is a positive result of smoking marijuana or consuming marijuana for recreational use. I cannot come with one good reason.
There are many good reasons. One for people who are prone to anxiety.
Okay. But see, I categorize that as medical usage. I'm talking about recreational use. I'm talking about you have no physical ailments or any anxiety issues. I can't find any reason why anybody would smoke marijuana if you don't have any medical issues. Now, I will say that I am for decriminalizing marijuana. I don't think anybody should go to jail for marijuana, but I would treat marijuana as, you know, running a red light. You know, you get a ticket, you get a fine. But the thing is that I find a lot of studies of the negative effects of marijuana for long-term use. There's studies that link marijuana use, long-term marijuana use, to psychosis. I see a lot of young people who will be encouraged to do this once this law gets into effect. The law gets into effect January 1st, 2020 here in Illinois. But I'm just not on board with, you know, with this legalization of recreational marijuana. And then secondly, all the money that they're going to make for this, I just don't feel that it's going to go into, you know, people in my community, in particularly black neighborhoods. And there are going to be a lot of people in the black neighborhoods who are going to be consuming this stuff. And they're going to be giving their money to, you know, to these people, to these dispensaries. And not one of them, or maybe very few of them, are going to be owned by people of that community. I see it as like alcohol, where you see a lot of liquor stores in our neighborhoods, and not one of these liquor stores, or very few of these liquor stores, are owned by black people. So I may be in the minority in this. You tell me, Patrice, but
look at some places where marijuana is used prolifically, and people don't have a problem with it. Take, for example, Jamaica. The problem they have with it in Jamaica is crime, the crime associated with it. But until it was actually made criminal, people used it. It didn't seem to have a negative societal effect, because the people who used it were people who were Rastas. It was part of their religious practice. It's the same thing in the United States as peyote. Native Americans used it without a problem. And they felt, I mean, they didn't have to rationalize why they smoked peyote or used peyote. It was part of their culture. It was not this thing that was, you know, a whole bunch of myths and laws and a whole bunch of things got mixed in with it that even bastardized the intention, the original intention of using peyote, or in the case of Jamaica and other parts of the Caribbean, using marijuana.
And you come up with the key word of culture, because we have a different culture than, say, the Native Americans and, say, the Rastas. And I understand that, because, you know, they use that as a cultural experience. But I just feel like we have too many irresponsible marijuana users in our communities. That's what I'm trying to say. And I just don't feel like
it has devolved into something that it never was from the beginning. It has become a product that you sell. It's part of a very large network, economic network. It has become marketable. And with it, you have a whole bunch of other things. The states and countries get a privilege to enact laws that put people in jail, which make them look very, very responsible. But the whole evolution of it, when you look at the evolution of it, you can see that people, it's like liquor. There was a time when liquor in this country was one of the worst things you could do. Mm-hmm. And easily you got the support of the larger community to condemn them to the devil and to death and all kinds of things because of drinking liquor. Now everybody and their grandma drinks liquor.
Uh-huh.
And they even advertise it on, they encourage you. You know, there are new wines and there are new mixers and they're selling it to you all over the place. But that's an attitude issue that is connected to notions of power and culture and certainly money, lots and lots of money.
Uh-huh.
Now, we haven't reached the stage yet where marijuana is mass advertised because the, quote, laws won't allow it. And the laws won't allow it for, you know, for Christian reasons. But that doesn't mean it's not happening.
Uh-huh.
Bill Clinton was happily smoking weed in the White House.
Well, you know, that's definitely a reason not to smoke marijuana.
Well, you know what I'm saying is we can't come to hard and fast decisions yet without understanding the role that this thing has played, how it evolved, who were the targets for prosecution and incarceration, who evaded prosecution and jailing. We just talked yesterday about Epstein breaking the law all over the place.
Yeah.
With a president. They're doing all kinds of drugs and booze and all these good, high-class, well-educated people. Trafficking in children. Everything they were doing was against the law. But because they had the ability to evade the law, and in some cases to actually make the law to their liking, they got away with it. I maintain that this is one of the greatest, in as much as it is marketable, Jamaica should be at the top of the list as a producer. And Jamaica should also be at the top of the list for science and studying marijuana. But we don't see that kind of association.
And I agree with you on that. And I also agree with you on how the uses of marijuana have basically devolved into a sense where it basically hurts us more than it helps us. Because like I said, we got too many irresponsible marijuana users, and we just need to back up and look at the situation. And I agree, maybe we need some, you know, we need Jamaica to look into this and see how we can benefit and profit from this as well. And I am, like I said, I am for decriminalization of it. I'm just not, right now, I'm just not for legalization of it.
Well, it's a fine line, and I agree with you. Much more needs to be done, but the first thing that needs to be done is to understand that in our society, things are used punitively against certain people, and they're targeted for the benefit of other people. The same thing with marijuana, right?
Mm-hmm.
Marijuana is a legitimate course of treatment in the medical world.
Yes.
But you don't see many blacks being treated with it. Because in one society, the feeling is, we will monitor you, we will make sure that you're doing well with the use of this herb. It's a natural herb, like so many others.
Mm-hmm.
And they accord it the respect it deserves in that sense, which is what the original regard was. This was a plant, just like peyote, that connected people to a spiritual dimension. That's how how it grew out of these cultures. And all over the world you have that. People use certain herbs or medications or something, like, you know, whatever, natural, in their history, their own cultural history. There's not a feeling that you're going to get high. That's not it. That's not it in these cultures. These cultures revere the use of certain hallucinogenic herbs and drugs and medications and so forth for an entirely different purpose. It came out of their cultures as a way to connect with the higher power. And they did, this was not a casual thing. This was serious. So when it was bastardized, when people thought, oh man, this is great, then you had the deleterious effects coming in. People were dying, people were going crazy, people were jumping off of roofs and whatnot, because the application was bastardized. People just did not understand these medications. And I'm very much for, if anything, that we at least appreciate marijuana has been growing for centuries,
mm-hmm.
and handled responsibly by the people using it.
And that was my point. And you said it was used spiritually. Well, we live in the most spiritually bankrupt country in the world. I say, do not legalize it for recreational use.
Well, I think we have to look at that, because there may still be uses for the, and people are discovering new uses for it every single day, for even mundane things like treating skin ailments and treating, you know, bad gums or something like that.
And
they have
utilitarian medical marijuana.
I'm sorry?
No, that's like I said, my original point was I am for medical marijuana use.
Yeah, but this is, again, we would call it medical marijuana because we have to give it a name to differentiate it from gangster marijuana.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. We're calling it medical marijuana because we could make money in a different way and without people feeling that they're breaking the law. But it's the same thing. And that's why I am urging, and I've been doing this for years, urging the Jamaican and Caribbean governments in particular to undertake a massive investment in studying the medical properties of marijuana and to do a great deal more research. It's not, I don't think we know enough about it. And it should be on the top of the world's list of still unexplored treasures all around the world that could easily help alleviate pain and suffering and disease. But we just don't psychologically associate marijuana with science and research and that kind of thing. And yet that is exactly where people need to go. There's so many things that in the Caribbean and all over the world were used for curing illnesses of all sorts, psychological and physical, and we don't know enough about them because not enough has been invested, and it is not an attractive field. People are not doing that. What would we be today if we did not benefit from the work of Carter G. Woodson or from Dr. Oh my God, the name is escaping me. But research. Look at all the things from the peanut for which he still has not been compensated. But so much came out of his work. We have this routinely in the African American community, in the Native American community. They did not rely on doctors and, you know, the trusted medical profession. They had to live and had to survive. And so this was a gift assigned to, and responsibility assigned in each of these cultures to people who acquired their knowledge and inherited their knowledge and continued being of medical use and spiritual use through the specialized knowledge. And so we have to change that. We can't wait on society. Society is backward. It has no clue about these things. It has no reverence for it. It has no respect for it. And so they demonize it, because this way they can capitalize on the money part of it. Makes a lot of money. Right now in Puerto Rico, which has a substantial tradition of native medicines and so forth, they're trying their best not to rebuild the schools that teach these things, trying not to rebuild them after the storm, so all of that knowledge disappears. But they've been using natural means for major cures, including some diseases like cancer. And this is of their own doing. With what's there, they use what's there, the natural herbs and materials that they gather. So we are not nearly close to understanding the enormity of the gift that we have. We look at it as it has been defined for us. Marijuana is bad. Well, yeah, you would say marijuana is bad because it gives you the ability now to decide who's a criminal and who's not, and how you're going to pack your jails. But you show me any study in the criminal criminology, in the criminology world, that substantiates that marijuana users are criminals. You show me anyone.
Yep.
See, so we ourselves misunderstand, or we don't know how important it is for us to value things that are culturally based. And in that sense, you know, it is possible that marijuana may be as bad for people as chocolate. But you don't hear anybody saying what people who eat chocolate must go to jail.
Yeah. So. Or even eat McDonald's.
Huh?
Oh. I said even eat McDonald's or any fast food.
Oh, good Lord. I'm telling you. Now, that's a crime. So we have to work hard, and we must return the cultural basis for a lot of these things that we're told are illegal and wrong. They're not. Some may be, but the idea that and these things that are wrong, incidentally, they make a lot of money, billions of dollars every year, under the control of somebody else. But the little old lady who goes in the backyard and uproots a couple of herbs and whatnot, and suddenly you don't have a bellyache anymore, that is not considered medicine. That's not considered science.
That's because they don't understand it. And like
they don't
said,
understand
they
it.
They like to criminalize
and they don't want to
things that they don't understand.
They don't want to because there's so much money to be made from it. My younger brother suffered a very, very bad burn when he was a child.
Mm-hmm.
He was playing with matches and he literally lit himself up, his pajamas up, and it was a very bad burn, a third degree burn.
Oh, wow.
And we didn't have burn units in our town. My mother went outside and cut this leaf and cut that leaf and did a bunch of things, got other women who knew things. And they created a salve, and they changed it regularly and everything else. They did everything a seasoned physician would do, specializing in burns. And they hadn't been to medical school. But as a mother, this is part of the schooling you were expected to have. You were supposed to be able to fix all these dangerous things that could possibly happen in the course of you being a mother. You're supposed to know this.
Yeah.
So,
it is amazing what they know.
Yes, it's amazing what they know. But we think of it as folk medicine. It is medical practice. It is serious medical practice going on.
Oh, they call it witchcraft or something.
we don't give it that respect at all. So marijuana is one of those things. I may be shocking some people as I speak now, but in fact, this is where I think for a long time the Caribbean ought to be a location of world-class knowledge and science about marijuana. And not just from a medical point of view, but we talk about the spiritual point of view. We're talking about the cultural point of view. And even the culinary tradition of the use of marijuana. We don't talk about that because we don't know it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
We don't know it. We have preformed ideas that they've given us, and all we need to know is marijuana is bad. Now, I have never smoked marijuana in my life, but I understand its importance as a cultural phenomenon in our community. We really need to understand it and return to it the respect it deserves in our tradition, in our cultural tradition, not this crazy, beastly way that people are operating and shooting and killing each other over marijuana turf and guns and all. That's not the tradition of marijuana. So we need to return some respect to it and really study it in as many forms as possible. I just mentioned culinary tradition. Now, who would ever believe that there's a culinary tradition associated with marijuana?
That's the first time I've heard that.
Okay, then. There you go.
That's the first time I've heard that.
All the tonics and wines and so forth that come out of the use of marijuana in its proper cultural environment. This is not news. But when you build a global sector on the bastardization of it, and the bastardization of the understanding of it, because it's making billions of dollars every day, you don't have time to study tradition. You're not interested in tradition, except the tradition of making money. Thanks, Henry. Good talking with you.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you so much. It brings us to the end of our program today. Over the weekend, please surround yourselves with people who bring positive dimension to your life. Have some fun, relax, because come next week, we're at it again. We have to put up with a whole week of Trump and madness in Washington. Bye-bye.